This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Gentlemen, take your marks. Set.
My brothers and sisters, it is the 15th of March, 2022, and we're on Track World with Alpheus Finlayson. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Track World with Alpheus Finlayson, the only track and field show in the Bahamas, and that is what I am talking about. Well, we not only concentrate on the sport of the Olympic Games, and there is no Olympics until track and field starts, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I am talking about. And guess what? As we would say, there are numerous persons watching and listening to Track World on various platforms. We really appreciate each and every one of you. Well, I give kudos to those athletes who participated in the NC2A championships over the weekend. Charisma Taylor jumped 45'9¾", I think, for a personal best, and became an All-American. And then we're talking about Denisha Cartwright. She participated in the 60-meter hurdles for a national title. Our World Indoor team has settled in Serbia, Belgrade, and has great chances of several medals. Anthony Strawn is in the 60 meters indoor, I'm saying. Donald Thomas is in the high jump, and Devin Charlton is in the hurdles, the 60-meter hurdles. Team managers are Laura and Dave Charlton. And then we are talking about former B3A's president, Foster, is in charge of the team. Foster Dorset, I mean. The young man, they say, he looks like me, but I am shocked and amazed. He is from Exoma, out west. East Exoma. And let's see. Ladies and gentlemen, I give a shout out to Gary Cox, who listens to Track World every opportunity he gets. Kudos also go to the International Women's Day, which was held last week. And my client had the opportunity of being one of the people at Scotiabank that was highlighted. And her name is none other than Robin Scovella. Robin Scovella. And as we go from there, we're talking about a client of many years of mine. She is an attorney, Hadassah Swain, FID, Grand Bahama chapter. Grand Bahama joins, excuse me, the rest of the world in celebration of the tremendous effort women and girls around the world in shaping more equal future. And then when we look again, Track World is brought to you by Sun Oil, Arrow Rock Homes, Sunshine Insurance, from Vancouver to Athens, 50 years of international track and field competition. Oh, it is a bestseller. And if you thought that the old one from Vancouver to Athens was a bestseller, just wait from Vancouver to Tokyo 2020, coming out soon. Also, sponsored by Vaughn L. Kalmer and Associates and Agents. And I have been a financial services representative at Kalina for more than 41 years. I'm not that old. I've just been rolling along in what I enjoy. My daughter, Alexis Hannah, is my business manager. And we are the A-team at Kalina. Alexis can be reached at 467-0372, and I can be reached at 432-9961. We really appreciate our business. That's what it's all about. Now, we go to our first commercial break, and after that, my brothers and sisters, Philippa Arnett. Philippa Arnett, what she will do is introduce our guests, one of a kind.
Shell Unleaded improves your fuel economy, giving increased miles per gallon, allowing you to do more of what you really want. Special additives used in Shell Unleaded improve your engine's efficiency. So, go further with Shell Unleaded. Venture out to beaches, junk canoe, and festivals, and bring home memories that will last a lifetime. Shell, fueling journeys that matter.
I am Bernard F. Hanna. All of you should know me as a Sting. I've got the very first copy from Vancouver to Athens. You know, I'm so excited because to be the one to have the first copy, I know what it was for Hawk, for over the years, his dedication and his excitement, his commitment to bring this bestseller book to us. And I'm excited to have in my possession not only one copy, but two copies from Vancouver to Athens. 50 years of Bahamian International Track and the Field Competition. This is great stuff. So I'm urging all of you to get your own copy. You could get it from Logos in the Harbor Bay, or Nassau Stationers on Rosetta Street, or Chapter 1 at COB, or at Coral News and Gifts in the domestic section of the Linden Pinlin Airport. Let me tell you, man, you will never regret it. This kind of information that you get in this book is really invaluable. It's just terrific stuff. Good sports history, true and factual, you know. So I urge you, just go and get it and keep a copy, and even give your friends a copy. And you know, more than one reason I am more excited about having this book. Look at page 200. and you will see me there in live and living color performing. Number 200, you will see Bernard F. Hanna performing, and that is my fulfillment, one of my big fulfillment of having this book.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care. For every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, who do we have watching?
Good evening, all. Well, Alphys, you have Michael Sarge Hanna watching, and Charlene Thompson is also online with you.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Charlene is always on. Her mom just celebrated her birthday, and guess what? You know who her father is? The fellow who sang "I Thank Heaven," Wendell Stewart, my good cousin's husband, but he's passed for a while. Tell us about what you see in Serbia, what you see in the NC2As. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Alphys, I think this weekend passed for the NCAA was a great one. Funny enough, competition and the athletes, I think the performances of the athlete was spread out over many of the schools in the
yes.
Division I and Division II areas, you know. And so we saw a whole plethora of young athletes, up and coming, who were doing very, very well. I think Megan Moss, who's now, you know, actually in Belgrade to run for the Bahamas in the 400 meters. She's one of those up-and-coming young athletes. She ran for the University of Kentucky. They finished third overall in the entire competition. And then, of course, we had Charisma, as you spoke of. Charisma did very well, of course, again.
Extremely well.
Every time she's touching that board,
yes.
She is PRing.
Yes.
For this season.
Yes.
This season, so, you know, definitely we know there's so much more to come from her. And then just a number of athletes in the region, because, again, we're in NACAC. So, you know, Abby Steiner from University of Kentucky,
yes.
USA athlete, but phenomenal. And then, again, we're happy to say she's being coached right now by, we have two Bahamians on that coaching board. That's Debbie and Lonnie Green.
Yes.
You know, so... We're in there, and a lot of other athletes who are doing well. That's the NCAA. So a very great competition that was held this weekend. We saw a number of very fast times put down on the track. As for the world indoors, I think we're going to have another Olympics, of course. And again, it's at the
yes,
Olympic level.
Yes.
So a lot of the athletes that the World Athletics has listed for that event, I think we're going to have a great next 2 days. I mean, it starts on the 18th, so it's March 18th to 20th. So to our listeners who are track junkies or track enthusiasts out there, just log in. Log in to World Athletics.
And
just watch this great competition.
That's the only thing going to be happening. And well, of course, you know, the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They had their trials. I'm forgetting where that was, but... someplace north, you know,
And it's going to be something else.
Yes.
So tune in. I think NBC may have it.
All the time. Yeah, all the time. With Louis Johnson, Louis of course. Johnson, exactly. Yes. I think he is actually going to be in Belgrade.
Yes, for
NBC. So I think the competition is, we can't discount anything that's about to happen. Shawnee, of course, is going to be, you know, Shawnee is there. You've called the athletes'
names.
Yes. And I think for all of our athletes that we have listed, though it's only five, it's five powerful ones.
So when you say powerful, a friend of mine says powerful. And that is Rodney
Munger.
And guess what? Somebody took that. Somebody in the States took that. So Rodney doesn't mind.
Rodney loves it.
None like him.
Yes. You have Vanessa Cole be watching Alfie's Edric.
My good cousin.
Of course, Edric. One of your Alex Finlayson.
Yes.
And of course.
A cousin of mine. Mm-hmm, yes.
They're all listening in to you.
Yes. So can we talk a little bit about birthdays?
Of course. Go right ahead.
Okay. Let me say this. The birthdays. It was the 9th of the 9th. And my grandson, Nasser Hanna, was born. And would you believe this? When he was born, his father called into this station and said Nasser was born. And that was the very first track world. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So, and then Noah. Noah is on the 5th. Okay? On the 5th, Alexis is our baby boy.
Okay.
And what I'm saying is that he was born on the 5th of this month. I'm a numbers man.
I know this.
I'm a numbers man.
It's a statistician.
And then, my good friend, none other than Stanley Mitchell. I don't think Stanley is going to any world indoor championship.
Don't sleep on that. He'll probably be on a plane right now.
I hear what you're saying. And then, on the 16th, I want somebody, whoever it is, Edric or whoever it is, on the 16th of March, Dr. Timothy Barrett was born. Everybody knows Timothy Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
He is a physician and everything else.
Well known.
And he is born on the same day as the one and only Tommy Robinson. The next person born on the 16th was Amos Ferguson. Amos Ferguson is the president of the B3As before me. And then we're talking about Linda Thompson. She's born on that same day. So you know Linda Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
So ain't that something else? Now the question is, what is the similarity between Timothy Barrett and Tommy Robinson?
They were both on that 1976 Olympic team. I have the right year. I don't have the right year. Am I close?
Yeah, they were on the same team.
Right.
But it's more significant than that.
Okay.
It is more significant than that. Anybody can tell the connection between Timmy Barrett and Tommy Robinson? If anybody can do that, I will find, what should I find? $20, $10, $30.
Okay. Go high.
Go up the ante.
He's at 30.
Let's look.
Let's wait and see.
Let's wait and see. So as we continue the birthdays, Garvin Ferguson. Now he is 54, and you know what is so interesting? When we talk about Garvin Ferguson, he is from Grand Bahama. And what is so significant for Garvin Ferguson, if you don't know, is that he had a... Garvin had the first world record in the Olympics. Swimming. Because he competed in the first round. And that's... So he is out of Grand Bahama. His father was an immigration man in Grand Bahama, his wife and everything else, and
I used to go and see them. Wife is still around, but the father has gone, you know. Father has gone. And then we talk about somebody called Nikki Carter. Nikki Carter. She, her daughter is Naya. Her daughter is Naya. The other daughter is Nazi. Nazi. And then the same thing, you look at it, Nikki's nephew is born on the 5th. His name is R-H-E-A. And it's so interesting. And then on the 17th is none other than Bismarck Coakley. Bismarck Coakley was something else at, what do we call it now? Frankie Wilson's, anyhow, in Frankie Wilson's company, Bismarck was
one of the board members.
Board members.
Yes.
And he was a member of our
Sunshine
Rotary
Boys.
Club.
Sunshine Boys.
Sunshine Boys. He was a member of the Rotary Club. Mm-hmm. And then on the 17th also is none other than Anthony Nace, Ace Newbold. You know anything about him? He is that class. He is the class of Minnis.
Okay.
Okay.
Another soccer.
Another soccer.
Hey, hey.
And then George Wilson. George Wilson. We went to school together.
Okay.
We went to St. Augustine's. We went to school in Minnesota and everything else.
His little daughter was my little sister at
St.
Augustine's.
Oh, I see. I
yes.
see. I see. And then Bernadette Gibson. Bernadette Gibson. And then a client of mine, Kevin Fernanda. Kevin Fernanda is at First Caribbean. He's been with me forever and ever. Amen. And then when we start to talk about debts. Lionel Simonet is my sister's, his wife is my sister's best friend. And he just passed. And he'll be funeralized at St. Agnes Church at 11 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay.
And Clarita Lockett is a client of many years. She's a chartered accountant and an attorney. She just passed on, I think it would have been Saturday. Phil Galanis told me about her death, and may her soul rest in peace, and all of their souls rest in peace and rise in glory. And that's what we are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So let's have some more discussions. Whatever we can have, my dear.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Well, I know Alpheus, I think today and yesterday, they had the small schools track and field competition at the Sports Center. So that's going on today. And then this weekend.
I was there today trying to find somebody, but that's a talk for another discussion.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Okay, yes. So they had their competition on yesterday and today. And then, of course, BISS is on Thursday and Friday. This week.
Yes.
So, yeah, this is the week. At least we're now, you know, transitioning out of COVID.
Yes.
Getting things back to normal on, you know, around for a lot of athletes. And hopefully it will spread to all of the other sports as well. But just happy for a lot of the athletes, the student athletes, to now be back out on the track.
Well, let me say this. Our guest is not here, but we can talk just a little bit about him.
Indeed.
And that's none other than Fabian Wims.
Mm-hmm.
He started participating in sports. What is so interesting is that in the first Carifta Games held here, Fabian lived all the way down, you know where BH lives, all the way to the south, where they have...
By the South Beach Pool, past the South Beach Pool.
No, no, not that far, not
okay.
that far.
Okay.
Where the school is. Where the school is, just...
Past the police station.
Past the police station,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's,
okay.
that's where he lives. But Fabian lives just a little bit further than that.
Okay.
Further than that. And he
hitchhike or whatever it is and got to the track.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I can't remember if he said that he didn't jump. I don't think he jumped the fence. I think he paid his way to get in.
Okay.
But he was at the school that he participated in first. Other than, you know, that kind of thing, we're talking about R.M. Bailey.
Okay.
And then, what is so significant with Fabian is that Fabian was the first Bahamian gold medal in the 100 meters.
Mm-hmm. Very strong sprinter.
And that was in Jamaica. To beat the Jamaican sprinters, it is something else.
It's a big thing.
And then a year later, in Bermuda, he won the 100 meters also, and I think he may have run the 200 meters, but specifically the 100 meters.
Mm-hmm.
And then talk about his collegiate.
Mm-hmm.
He had an opportunity to go to where Jerry Wisdom went. I think it was Texas A&M, as I could remember.
Okay. That's where I think Moo is.
Yeah,
the phenom.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
And then he was all around collegiate championships. And then, as it happened, he had the opportunity to participate internationally for the Bahamas. And he ran in Seoul.
Mm-hmm.
In the, I don't know if it was 100 or the
200.
One of them, he was with them. And that is Fabian Williams.
You talk about his earlier history. Uh-huh. I know him on the latter history of when he moved into coaching.
Oh, yes.
Right, with him and Sidney Cartwright.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I remember under his tutelage, he and Sidney. A lot of it was a lot of SAC athletes actually underneath their in their club,
yeah,
when they first started, you know, with his involvement,
uh-huh,
and whatsoever. So I know Fabian in that realm, and then he still, I think, was training and running actually at the end of his career.
End of his
somewhat
career.
Exactly.
A number of people do that because, mm-hmm, they feel that, you know, there's still a chance.
Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. So definitely, you know, he has been an athlete. And then he's been a mentor to many. So, you know, he's given. And then now, of course, we know him as he's into photography.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
oh,
still
yeah.
into that
touristic. He is my man. You would see him at the stadium, mm-hmm, with his camera.
All the time.
Yeah. So he does very good business for us. I'm not talking for my family.
Mm-hmm.
And with regards to my fraternity. That okay. kind of thing. He's one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
So the interesting thing that you talked about is that Fabian has his own mind about what people do as coaches.
Yeah.
Fabian feels that they don't know how to coach.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to coach.
That's interesting.
And that is I mean, he's serious.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He's serious. If, you know, he has his own ideas, but he is serious. You have to be serious, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're serious, you don't do it. I should say nothing. I want to be as English and British as one fellow of mine. So Ullington Butler.
But I wouldn't say that the we don't see a seriousness, because if you look at some of the athletes now, we don't seem to have that transitioning, no, into yes. the sprinting as we would have did in some years past, because of course we had relays, and particularly in the girls, I would speak from the girls era, you know, we still trying to get that synergy and a team back together, and we're still looking for that.
Mm-hmm.
We're still looking for what it could be to keep the consistency with the athletes for us to have a good sprint relay, girls and boys. But I would say this, when you look at some of the clubs now and mm-hmm. some of the young guys who are running sprint-wise, they're performing.
Yes.
They're performing at a very high caliber. Just off the top of my head, Antoine Andrews, Carlos Brown Jr. Yeah. These are actually athletes in like Andrews clubs, mm-hmm. and they have been consistently performing over the past, I would say, 3 years on the track. And I think if we keep that going, definitely, you know, the spark will, something will pop out.
I was at Super Value out west, and this security fella called me, and he said, "Young man, you know anything about track and field?"
He didn't know you.
No, he had no reason to know me, okay? But what happened is that he would work in the evening, okay? And he couldn't get, you know, specifically Saturday, he couldn't do anything. He had to work. And what happened is that I came out at the stadium. And fella said, he said, "You remember me, Mr. Villerson?" I said, "What do you mean if I remember you? I can't miss you." And all I told him is that do well. Mm-hmm. Do well as you can. Mm-hmm. And when you participate, you need to do well and be serious.
Yes.
You have to be serious.
And that's a good point, Alpheus, because I would tell you, I just had an opportunity to do an interview with Debbie Ferguson. And I guess now sitting in the coaching seat,
yes,
and her seeing the input of the athletes and seeing the performances that, mm-hmm, come out of Abby Steiner, because,
yes,
she has that opportunity. But you know what was very interesting to hear from her is that athletes need to understand that in order to get that output, you have to put it in.
You have to put the work in.
You have to listen to the coaches. You got to go with the flow. You have to feel it, because the coaches see something different in you. They know, you know, when you're at that level, they know what they want to peak in you. And so you have to go with the practice, and you just got to put in the work. And she continued to say that in the interview. And she used the Abby Steiner for an example, mm-hmm, to say, if you see the amount of work that that athlete puts in, you would see why her output is so phenomenal.
Well, I had an opportunity to talk about athletes, coaches, and everything else. There are some athletes who can be I always talk about Carl Lewis, okay? But if Carl is just a great athlete and can't coach, that's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a situation where you, as a coach and not a great athlete, you should dedicate yourself to coaching athletes.
To learning the science.
Learning, that's the best
thing.
That's
it, yeah. You have to learn the science. You,
yes,
have to, you know, even though you might not have played a role in it,
yeah,
there is nothing better than, like, persons would say, you watch professional sports, particularly football. They say most players, football coaches in the pros, a lot of them did not really touch the grass. They were the bench warmers.
Well, let me say,
but they learned the science.
Let me say something that happened over the weekend.
Tom Brady.
No, he is great.
He is.
I mean, he wants to come back.
He wants to? He's back.
No, he's back. That's what I'm saying. But, you know, he pondered it and going to relax in it. And he's back. That's what he loves.
Alpheus, you have Kelly Burrow saying, "Hi, Hawk."
Hello, Kelly. I think you are doing well.
That's,
you know,
right.
I talk to your family.
Mm-hmm. And Edric always lending an ear and,
yes,
giving his input. Edric mentions that Fabian was the gold standard for men sprinting in our time.
Of course.
Power runner. You could hear his feet coming down the track where he ran with so much power. And totally agree.
That's what I am talking about. That's what I am talking about.
Thanks, Edric.
So let me ask you now. Let's go back to you. Your involvement in athletics. I told you, in my days, I was the person who was all about the track, talking about track and field. I was the person on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then. One time we had an event in, I think, the first CAC event, or the second CAC event,
mm-hmm.
when, what's his name? Our man, Triple Jumper, who was going to jump 60 feet.
Not Frank? Stephen Hanna?
Stephen Hanna.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And guess what? I was talking, and guess what happened? I said, it's a behemoth record.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't look and said that it was wind aided. No, but I'm saying you have to do all of that.
Of course.
And now it's a little bit easier to do all that kind of thing.
Of course.
But tell us about your input into being an announcer, your dream.
Wow, exactly. A dream that I did not even know was there.
Yeah.
Again, it's just something that was, I don't know, a diamond in the rough that was found because I just ended up to a training and trained under a gentleman from, of course, Barbados.
Yes.
Jules. And he put us straight to the mic after the training. We went through a training, I think, of about almost 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
Very intense, about 4 or 5 hours a day, learning the dynamics, learning the science, learning how to, and the pros and the cons of, you know, announcing. And then, of course, he put the mic in the front of everyone.
Yes.
And pretty much then it became your flavor. I can't say that it was something that I was expecting to still be doing.
I know.
But
What kept you going?
Falling in love with the sport again.
Away from
the track. But,
yeah.
You know, I guess, too, sometimes I knew when you're running, that voice behind you could really make a difference.
Yes, definitely.
Right. And for me, that's what I love about it. I love actually, you know, calling out persons' names and trying to push them, because while you're running, it's all body, yes, but it's in your mind as well. And if someone could positively try to impact you, positively put that time on you, it helps to propel you to do better.
Philippa, look.
And that's what I want to be.
Philippa, that's where you are, but I'll tell you this. You know what happens when there are relays or whatever it is, and what does the announcer talk about?
Exchange, synergy.
They talk about the athletes from this country, the next country.
Of course.
They don't call the name.
No. Yeah.
And that's bad.
Yes.
We track and feed people want to know the name of the athlete.
So very true.
Yes.
So very true. And I think sometimes too, Alphys, I think that happens because persons don't connect.
Yeah.
So
need to connect.
Right. If you feel it, if you've had a part in the sport, you would understand how important it is for somebody to call your name while you're running.
Yes.
Particularly distance athletes, mm-hmm. Even sprinters getting out the block. I love that there are some athletes and some coaches that come to me and say, Miss Arnett, I need you to call my race. Just call my race, Miss Arnett. Please. You know, and it encourages me. It makes me feel good, and it makes me love what I'm doing even more, because what it does, it tells me that I'm actually making a difference to athletes on the track.
Let me tell you, anybody who is involved in whatever era, not era, but me in financial services,
mm-hmm.
if you have people, say, I have a love affair with my clientele.
Yes, you do.
and vice versa,
mm-hmm.
okay? So, I mean, and otherwise, that is what it's about.
Yes.
So you enjoy what you do.
Enjoy it. Because it can get boring, Alphys. A long day at the track could get boring. And you don't want that to happen. You want to try to keep it as exciting as possible. I know the one thing that I really would love to do is that we get to a point where we have sufficient announcers to carry the flavor over the entire track and
that's
field.
Right, that's right.
Because I do honestly feel that sometimes the field events don't get the fire that we have on the track.
And then one more.
And it's because of timing.
Yeah. One more thing. You know, there is a call room and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So there have to be people who all they're doing is checking the call room.
Right.
And that kind of thing. So we're talking about numbers of people.
And growth, Alpheus. And growth, yes. Because
growth is everything.
Oh, definitely. When you travel and you see the setup of
abroad.
Of persons, announcers' room.
Yes, yes.
And
it
is definitely called event planning because everything is synchronized.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're telling you when to go, when to not speak, when to get this race, and everything is on. And then you understand why, when you look at a schedule of a world athletics, of an Olympics that's running 300, 400 events, but everything is on time except for when you have a weather system. You understand how important that job of announcing is.
That.
Yes.
So at the Penn Relays.
Oh, my goodness.
They give you the opportunity that in the booth and close to the booth.
They give you that information
all the time.
I would love to have that opportunity.
They give you the information all the time.
And Alpheus, let me tell you, and you've experienced it. I think any athlete who's ran in the region who would have experienced Penn Relays knows there is nothing more timely than that event.
Yeah.
You get in that box, and when they say go, they are bouncing around, cold, snowing, rain, it doesn't matter, hot sun. But when they say go, when that gun goes off, it is. And I think all of that is synchronizing, you know, so definitely it's a science. And I think for so long, we've probably taken the ideal of announcing.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have a lot to learn as well.
Yes.
But the ideal of announcing as just we're just calling the race. But it is definitely a science that could make athletes go a step further.
Let me ask you this. You said you need no more. How do you do that?
Well, you have to look for classes There are clinics.
Yeah.
There are clinics, just as they offer coaching clinics and they offer all these sorts of things.
Abroad or by Zoom or whatever?
Well, the two that I've attended were here.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Coach Charlton, Laura Charlton, who worked along with the B3As at the time. That was sometime, I think, in 2013 or 2014. Who did that. And then, of course, we had a refresher course where we now have another announcer who's stuck it out with us.
Who is he?
Denzel Sura.
He was right in here,
mm-hmm.
Okay? He was right in here because of the Anglican...
Yes, he's very involved in the Anglican diocese. Exactly.
I got the opportunity to meet his mother and everything.
Correct.
Young lady.
Yes, right. So, yeah, he's stuck it out with us. And we've had another, you know, but life changes. It's the same thing with the sports because we've had a number of persons that did the training I thought were excellent. I could tell you there's one, Delron. I mean, oh my goodness.
Who's that?
Delron, who used to do field events, who used to do discus and shot put. Let me tell you.
Where is he?
He is in the U.S. He's working in the U.S.
Because we connected some time ago. You know, for whatever reason,
He has a voice, a stellar voice. And then Mr. Barth, what's his name? Son. Parkinson?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
His daughter. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Another one. But where the fair came, I think, in her and persons who I thought had a very, very projective voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's another thing. You have to have a catchy voice.
Of course. You can't
have a fine, you know, little... You have to come with a very projective voice. I think what happened was they knew the field, but they didn't know the track.
So
some persons have come out and said, oh, Philip, I can't call that race like you. Like, you take the mic.
Yeah.
You know, but, so you just have to feel it. But again, we just talked about either sitting on the bench and never being a part of track, but just loving track. And so, you know, you learn the track, you learn the science, you learn how to call races, and then you just put your own flavor to it.
Let me tell you about my projection. My mother would hear me talking in the street.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, Junior, you're talking to nobody in the street. Now, my bride of 41 years,
mm-hmm.
she said that if I am talking low. I have to be screaming. I have to be screaming. So I know how to project.
Exactly.
You know, that's what it's all about.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, fortunately, I have that voice.
Yes.
And
yes.
I've noticed that some people don't. So even though persons might offer to, you know, it's not there. But I can tell you and to our listeners, if there's anybody out there who is willing to learn.
Please do.
And to bring a flavor, bring a flavor, because
each person has their own flavor.
Definitely, definitely. And then again, it's something too that at some point we'll have to invest in ourselves as well, because
that's what life is about.
Yes, yes. And
you don't get something for nothing.
No.
I call it nothing.
No, and particularly when you travel and you see the level of equipment, the level of purchasing a laptop and having the tech system, where literally if the tech room changes a race or changes a person in the race, you automatically get that right in front of you. So you don't have to read from a paper. You read from, you know, it's so much science in it.
I have a friend who is in Seattle. Look here.
Beautiful place.
I'm trying to remember where I met her. And you know what she does? She is a jumps, she inspects jumps.
Okay.
So we're in Atlanta. And I talk about how somebody was telling me from Canada, he said that Carl Lewis ain't gonna win this jump. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, Carl wins the jump. And what she says is that Carl does all kind of posing and whatever. Now, in one other time, we went to Atlanta, and I say, Carl, I will talk with you. Yes, and he said, you better talk now, because if I don't get to the finals, you don't see me anymore. Different people.
Of course.
But this lady is somebody who deals with all the jumps in the USA track and field. And she lives in
Seattle, you said.
Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's definitely something that, you know, you have to love. And then you definitely have the time. You have to have time, because it's all day. You can be to the track for 7 hours. You can be to the track for more than that, you know. So I take whatever opportunity that I can to learn.
Yes.
Learn the craft a little bit more and to see where I can grow. And on all of that. And then, of course, you know, I've had the opportunity to travel to Mexico.
Yes.
I've had the opportunity to travel to Costa Rica. And internationally had that opportunity to share in announcing, and I loved it.
We're forgetting about Carifta.
Of course.
We got to talk about Carifta. And then I am going to give the answer to the people about Tommy and, go ahead.
Oh, well, Carifta. Well, hey, we know Carifta is here. And for all those listeners out there, if you are interested in joining the B3As and travel to Jamaica, there is a Bahamas Air charter that's being facilitated at the B3As office. And if you are interested in traveling with the Carifta team to Jamaica for the Easter break, and believe me, there's no experience like it. If you have traveled anywhere, if you love track, you will not regret that ticket. So if you're interested, just check the B3s and get involved. But Carifta, again, Alpheus, what could we say? If you've been following the Jamaican trials and following the trials of participating countries this past weekend, oh my goodness.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Somebody did 44 something.
Oh my God.
In the trials.
Mm-hmm. And the sprints.
Yes.
The sprints, I mean.
Where would that be?
In Jamaica.
No, I'm talking now about, just switching. I'm talking about the sprints for the USA track and field trials. And then going to Sofia, they did 44 something. An unbelievable performance.
Yeah, I'm
listening. Not many people have done that.
No. And when you think of the arena of training during COVID, where a lot of facilities weren't open, and you know, coaches had to become creative, creative for their athletes.
Yeah, you
creative,
have to be creative.
Yeah, you have to have a mind. You have to think out the box. That's generally it, you know. And I think even up to Olympics, coaches proved that they are thinking out the box, because the performances at the Olympics and continuing through even now to the junior athletes is phenomenal.
Well, I would like to thank Ali for being the producer.
Indeed.
And what I wish to say about Timmy Barrett and
Tommy Robinson.
And Tommy Robinson. Guess what the middle name is? Augustus. Both of them. Timothy Augustus
Barrett.
Barrett. Timmy Augustus Robinson. It is unbelievable.
Okay.
And he happened to find that out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Thank you ever so much.
Thank you too.
I thank for all of those people who are watching and listening. We do appreciate you. And I am telling you that we have found somebody for next week. And this is Jason Edwards.
Yeah.
Long jumper.
I told him
that I had a photo with he and the young man from Houston. He went to school in Houston. So he will be right here. I know a lot about him.
Yes, coached under Peter Pratt.
Under Peter Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
Under Peter Pratt.
And now coaching helping with the coaching of Bianca.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, and thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you, young lady.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you.
Indeed, I appreciate you as well. Have a good one.